Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of Orchid Pharma Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Margaret. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Orchid Pharma Limited's Q3 FY22 earnings call. We have with us Mr. Manish Dhanuka, Managing Director, Mr. Mridul Dhanuka, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Gupta, Chief Financial Officer. We will begin with opening remarks from the management and then can have an interactive Q&A session. Over to you, Mridul.
Morning. Welcome everyone to the earnings call for Orchid Pharma. I would like to just start with a brief summary of the financial performance, then I'll talk about a few qualitative things that we have done in the last quarter. In the last quarter, our sales has improved from 98 crores almost to 159 crores, a jump of 63%. While on nine-month basis, this number has gone from 315 crore to 376 crores, a jump of 19%. Our EBITDA in Q3 has gone up dramatically from almost 0.7 crores to 17.2 crores, and on a nine-month basis, it has dropped from 50 crores to 34 crores. This large drop in EBITDA is largely due to the factors of raw material cost increase, sales more in ROW as we expand our scope in different other markets. Orchid was a regulated market company earlier, and freight cost increase due to larger volumes which we are able to sell, and lastly, energy costs. Coal, as you are aware, has become costly almost by 100%. These are the four factors which are largely as the cause of this decline in EBITDA as we work more to utilize our capacity and debottleneck to improve and access newer markets. Qualitatively, just for last quarter, we were able to visit CPHI in Europe. We were one of the few Indians there, and that gave us an opportunity after 1.5 years of taking over the business to meet some of the customers. As you are aware, Europe is the largest market for Orchid, and this gave us an entry into meeting the customers and create that relationship again, share our credentials with them, the background of Dhanuka Group, and assure them of continued services. The customers appreciated meeting us and got confidence that Orchid is here to stay, and that is going to result in future growth from these customers for Orchid. Besides that, our merger process is well on its way, and shareholder approval was received. It has also been uploaded on NSE and BSE website, and we hope to get approval from SEBI shortly, after which we will file for NCLT approval. We hope to complete that exercise by end of this year. That's all from my side as a brief summary, and I would like to open the house for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Viraj Kacharia from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity. I just have a couple of questions. First is if you can share the DLL performance for the first nine months of this year, and how does it compare in the previous year?
Yeah. Dhanuka Lab achieved a turnover of, Guptaji, can you brief that? What was the sales of Dhanuka Labs for nine months?
EBITDA is 10 crore and sale is 300 crore.
So those are the results of unaudited results of Dhanuka Labs for 9 months.
There has been a moderation compared to last year?
Yeah, there has been, just like in Orchid, the last year, last 9 months has seen unprecedented rise in the energy costs. You may be aware the coal prices have almost doubled in last 6 months, I would say, from June onwards. And at the same time, some of the solvent costs and some costs of Chinese inputs have risen unprecedentedly. And we face the same headwind in Orchid as well. So it's not that easy to pass on the increase in the raw material costs and energy, because both companies tend to procure orders 3 to 6 months in advance. So that's why in the last 9 months, we felt that due to increased input costs, there was pressure on EBITDA for both the companies. However, now in the last 2 months, we've made it clear to the customers that the companies cannot bear the increased input costs. And slowly, we are able to pass on the costs to our customers, and we are able to raise our prices as well. So we hope to see improvement in the bottom line in the next 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Second question is, you know, we have announced a CapEx of 50 crores for the biotech, chemical and intermediaries. So, what are the products we have chosen? What is the size of each of these products? What products we are looking to, you know, cater to for under this? And this is under the subsidiary which we are looking to do the CapEx. So, would we get any benefit in the lower tax rate and, you know?
I could not understand your question. Actually, your voice was breaking. Can you repeat it, please?
Yeah. So, you know, we have announced a capex of 50 crores, biotech, chemical and industries. So, just trying to understand what products we have chosen, and what will be the size of those, each of those products, and number of products we are looking to commercialize under this.
Actually, that is right now only an exploratory one. There is no committed investment that's only part of exploratory area that we are working on in biotech. Nothing concrete on that front right now.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Sir, few questions. One is, if you can just highlight, like in this quarter, we've seen a good growth. So is it like more price led, or is it like we've seen a better demand for cyclosporine? Because I think last 2 years COVID had resulted in a weak demand. So is it recovery in demand in terms of volume, or is it more price driven?
We feel that during this quarter, we have not been able to increase the price. It's largely driven due to increase in demand. We saw in the last two quarters was that in Europe, the demand was very much subdued. So we have found slight increase in the demand of our European customers as well. At the same time, we had been trying to seed our products in many different new customers, even in the ROW markets as well as in regulated markets. So we find it has an impact of some of those customer assimilation process that we had started. And we hope to see more results in the near future.
And based on the order book, and even in last call, you had mentioned that post CPHI, many customers were again looking at Orchid as a supplier. Any progress there in terms of new customer additions or any new orders, or just qualitatively, if you can highlight how are we progressing there? You gave some comments at the beginning, but if you can just elaborate a little bit more, are we seeing initial successes?
Yeah, so we have found a very important customer for the US market, and the customer has filed the change for their ANDA by including our API, and we are very much hopeful that in few months that approval will come. And we will be able to supply significant quantities to this new customer for the US market. For the Europe and some of the other regulated markets like North Africa, we have started giving samples to some of them. But as you you know, in pharmaceutical, more so in the regulated market, it's a little time-consuming thing. So we are hoping this to happen over next 6 to 8 months' time. This should definitely lead results. Not just that, we have also started seeding some of our advanced intermediates, which Orchid specializes in. And we will be looking at some sales to Japan and some more sales to Europe in the advanced intermediate stage, which will lead us to a better capacity utilization. And
No, please carry on. Sorry.
Yeah. So at the same time, we are working on the new product, which should, I would say, in the medium term, result in increased sales over the next 1.5 to 2 years.
Sure. Last question now. A few on N-metazobactam. One is a clarity which I wanted to understand. Like, if we see Allecra has been out licensing the product for the marketing into different geographies. Now, if you have to understand the royalty which Orchid gets, is it like on the commercial sales, or is it like what Allecra gets from that we get the income? So, is it like if 100 rupees of sales happen in, say, China, we get 8 rupees from that 100, or is it like the double-digit royalty which Allecra gets out of that 8% we get? So how does that work? Just clarity.
It's 8% on global sales, Nikhil. Whatever is sold in the whichever geography, 8% of that. But that is a net sale number, not a gross sale number. That's the only difference.
Yeah. And lastly, on India filing for N-metazobactam, where are we? And secondly, if these sales which are happening globally, do we have an API supply tie-up or anything of that sort, or those companies can define their own API suppliers? Do we have any supply agreements?
For which product?
For N-metazobactam. So if the sales happen globally, are we the API or intermediary suppliers, or we only get the royalty and there are no supply relationships?
Yeah, so you see, in the past, the relations between Orchid and Allecra had soured. So in between, Allecra had gone and found a supplier in China. But now after our taking over, we have developed good relationship with Allecra and started discussion on becoming a second supplier for these products. So we have started R&D on the product so that, you know, we can develop a commercially viable process. And then we hope to file the DMF in Europe as well as USA so that we are able to supply to them the API. But that would take some time. But the discussions are in progress, and we hope to become a second supplier.
And with respect to your question on India registration, so we have received the test license for the product from the government in Tamil Nadu, and we filed for the formulation license, and the next step will start shortly for this product, and we hope to start approaching the CDSCO for registration in the next coming few quarters.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. So, continuing with N-metazobactam, the approval what we see, or the Allecra advanced press release what we read, the approval is only for hospital applications. Is it so? And if yes, then the market size of it will be small. And how is it going to be priced? Means, can you elaborate on the application part? And means the press release seemed it was only for hospital applications.
Yeah, Himanshu, all the injectable products are mostly for hospital applications. Only with time, for insulin, for example, Novo Nordisk has come up with a product which you can apply on your own. But it's an injectable product which has to be administered in an hospital setting. With respect to the market size, I don't think it limits it. Of course, it makes it more, I would say, process heavy with respect to going to the hospitals. But just to give you some numbers, some largest selling products in India are injectables of piperacillin tazobactam, 1,000 crore market just in India. Meropenem, 1,000 crore market. Ceftriaxone, 1,000 crore market in India. So these are just Indian numbers and very, very large numbers for cephalosporins and antibiotics to be administered. So I don't think that that's going to be a concern. Most of these infections are acquired in outside and has to be treated in a hospital setting and would require hospital stay as well.
Okay.
What is important, I'd like to add one thing. What is important to understand is that this product is targeted for hospital-acquired pneumonia and cUTI. So the phase 3 studies have shown that the most commonly used antibiotic for this purpose is piperacillin tazobactam. And our product has shown 20% better efficacy to this product. So it is now up to, you know, the marketing companies, how they pitch it and how the doctors perceive the product. So we are hopeful because of its better efficacy, it will have a good future.
And the patent life for the product starts from which date to which date in Europe? And is there some 5-year extension patent life for this product? So, some more clarity on the life, especially in the Europe where...
So as things stand now, the patent would life would expire somewhere between 2032 and 2033, depending on the market. And in some markets, it might be even 1 year more, 2034. But mostly we can take 2032-33 as the year the patent expires.
Okay, and few more questions, okay. Morely on the generic business or the API business, okay. See, to win the game of API, we need to be quality focused, efficient and most cost competitive. In this journey, where are we versus our competition? Because even we look at DLL, the margins are low and ourselves also the margins are not there where it should be, okay. So what are we doing, especially on the second and third part, which is efficiency and being cost competitive versus our peers? So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, good question, Himanshu. So if you look at Dhanuka Labs, the cost competency of Dhanuka Labs is probably the most efficient in the industry in terms of the percentages that the costs are probably one of the lowest. But as it operates in the ROW markets, there is, of course, pressure on the margins. There is no doubt about it. But at the same time, the process efficiencies are quite high. That is the reason, you know, Dhanuka has done so well compared to a lot of competitors. And also, there is focus on some of the new cephalosporins that only Dhanuka Labs has prominence in the market. So now the benefit that Orchid and Dhanuka combination gives is to leverage the process efficiencies that Dhanuka had by virtue of its R&D and which Orchid had lost over the last 5 to 7 years because the focus on R&D was lost. So now with the usage of those efficient processes and increased capacity utilization, the other shortcoming that Orchid had was higher cost structure, which was higher in terms of percentage because the capacity utilization was low. So as we plan to increase capacity utilization and leverage the better efficient processes of Dhanuka, I think it gives a dual advantage to Orchid. That's what we want to demonstrate in coming time. At the same time, I think in last year we demonstrated that how we have reduced the cost of Orchid itself significantly. And we are continuing to work in that direction. You will probably see in the next year, we would have reduced the energy costs significantly as we have invested in solar energy in Tamil Nadu. So we are working on both the areas, reduction of cost as well as improving the process efficiency. And by virtue of being present in the regulated markets and the customers having good confidence on Orchid, we feel that, you know, this combination of Dhanuka and Orchid can deliver an EBITDA which will be much above the industry standard.
One small thing. How is the order book looking Q on Q and YOY? I don't want a specific numbers, but let's say percentage growth-wise, if you can say that my order book, what was, let's say, at the beginning of last quarter?
Thanks. So based on our earlier guidance, we would maintain you know, this 20% CAGR kind of a number. That's our intent. And the order book is in line with that kind of number. And we hope to continue to grow that.
Okay. And one last question, then I'll join back in the queue. Which are the largest molecules in cephalosporin and the fastest growing products? Can you elaborate on how is our positioning in those molecules for the combined entity, DLL and ORCID?
Generally speaking, I think most of the molecules that, I mean, the prominent large volume molecules, Dhanuka and ORCID combined would have a percentage share between 20 to 35%, depending on molecule to molecule. In terms of oral, the largest product for ORCID is Cefixime. For Dhanuka also Cefixime. But ORCID has the advantage of supplying to the innovator, and that's why they export at much higher value than the competition. The second product is Ceproxim Exetel. There also ORCID has the advantage of being present in Europe. So we are trying to take a leadership position in this product. With respect to sterile, Ceftriaxone is the largest product, but most of the production of ORCID goes in the regulated markets. So we have now started almost full capacity utilization of our sterile plant, and whatever surplus only we sell in the non-regulated markets.
Thank you. I'll join back in the queue for further queries.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Just wanted to get a sense on how volumes have grown in Q3 on a year-on-year basis and on a nine-month year-on-year basis for both ORCID as well as DLL.
Yeah, Tarun, our growth actually is practically entirely volume-led. So in Q3, we have done quite well by growing by 60%. On nine-month basis, that number looks like 20% in ORCID. And in Dhanuka Lab, on a volume basis, mostly it looks like around 8 to 10%.
Got it. And in terms of, if you could just give us a sense on how the raw material pricing has actually moved. Actually, before we get into that, if you could, what are your most critical raw materials in terms of your raw material cost, in terms of your absolute value of raw materials?
So most of those are key starting materials which come from China, and these are fermentation products where China has a monopoly globally. So everybody buys from China, and we also buy from China, and these products contribute to the total COGS. Depending on the product, 70% of the COGS would come from these products in China.
And how much of that would be Penji?
Penji directly for ORCID is not used at all, because it comes from a different class of product. But yeah, Penji indirectly is used because one of our joint venture partners we had shared earlier, Otsuka Chemicals, uses that to make GCLE, which is the key raw material for Cefixime, the largest product. So Penji is the key raw material for them. So Penji price increase has a direct impact on ORCID in terms of increasing our COGS of Cefixime.
Correct. And how have Penji prices moved? From what I understand, they've gone up significantly. And if you could give us a sense on what are the, in the last maybe 5-10 years, what are the mean prices for Penji and consequently GCLE?
Yeah, so Penji prices have, fluctuated over last 4-5 years in the range of $8 to $12. And last we heard from Otsuka was that their purchase was around $13. But the rumor is that they are likely to increase further. So this is, this may probably an impact of the PLI that Government of India has given to Indian manufacturers. And this impact could probably come down, say, about in a year's time when Indian manufacturers start benefiting.
Okay. And the Dhanuka Laboratories performance, so you did 900 crores of revenues in 9 months. What was this figure in 9 months FY21? And generally, what is the gross margin that this business operates on?
So we did 300 crores. The sales were 300 crores in 9 months.
And what was the figure last year?
last year the total sales was 383 crores in the full financial year, and EBITDA was 32 crores. This year there is a dip in EBITDA in 9 months. It's around 10 crores.
And generally, what are the gross margins that this business operates on?
It's about 8 to 10%.
You mean EBITDA margin?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the opportunity. A couple of questions from my end. Can you shed some light on how the NPSC segment has, you know, performed for this quarter, 9 months, easily last year? Can you give me an update on the N-metazobactam, you know, filing in US? In the last call, you had mentioned you're still in the process of, you know, finding a partner for the US market. So how is that progress?
I did not understand the first question. Can you just come again, please?
The NPNC segment, non-cephalosporin, how has that performed on a 9-monthly basis? Can you share with some numbers for that?
Yeah, that business was sold, if you remember, in Q2 to Orbion Pharmaceuticals. So that number is not available with me right now.
So DLL has NPNC segment, correct?
Okay, you're talking about DLL's performance. I got confused. Yeah.
Okay, so out of the 300 crores, DLL did about 100 crores of NPNC business.
Okay, and how's the number performed to last year?
Last year it was around 80 crores in 9 months. So there's about 20% increase in NPNC.
Alright. And second question was?
As a back term, Allecra is still looking for a partner for the US market. As of now, they have out license for Europe as well as China.
Okay, okay. And in terms of plant capacity for, you know, sterile tests, last year, in the last quarter, if I'm not wrong, you shared, it was 75% utilization for oral was 33. And on DLL side, cephalosporin was working at 80% plant utilization and NPNC was at 50%. Can you provide me the numbers for this quarter in terms of plant capacity utilization?
Yeah, so what we have done is we have tried to utilize the sterile capacities to the full in Orchid Pharma, although we continue to find de-bottlenecking opportunities to increase the capacities and reduce time cycles so that the same plants can be utilized for more production. At the same time, we are now starting to look at some investment by virtue of which we can increase the capacity by another 25%. There is a block which is almost ready and it needs to be commissioned with some investment. We are looking at that right now. And in Dhanuka Labs, as you asked, the capacity utilization of NPNC has improved by 10%. Dhanuka Laboratories remains largely same, maybe slightly reduced because one of the key products that Dhanuka makes, that the demand for that was much reduced during this current year, due to higher Benji prices, as some other gentleman asked for.
Okay, and last few questions from my end is that how and when do you plan to you know, reduce the promoter stake to 75%? And you know, is the office sale of Orchid Tower expected to be completed in this fiscal? Is it still on track?
Yeah, so it will depend on how SEBI advises us to do. We have time till 31st March 23 to come down to 75%. So now that we have filed for merger, we are waiting for SEBI's guideline, how they advise.
Our intent is to do it once the merger completes and well before the timeline, like last time. If you remember, our OFS timeline was 30th September and we completed it in Q1 only. Similarly, we would like to go somewhere by end of this year is if, you know, SEBI approvals and merger process is on track as we imagine. And on Orchid Tower, our intent, you know, was to bring down the debt to 100 crore by this sale. Looking at the, you know, Omicron flare up during this time, the real estate prices, although improved from last quarter, but they are not where we expected to be. So if not this quarter, definitely by next quarter, that would be sold and the number would be reduced.
All right. Thank you. That's it from my end. I'll get back in line.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Divansh Nigotia from Skill Ventures. Please go ahead.
For the opportunity. I just wanted to understand the tax losses of 2,000 crores that we have. Till which year it can be carried forward?
We probably have to check on that. But I think it should be for 8 years or something, that as per the law. I'm sorry, we are not updated on this.
Okay, so if we generate 2,000 crore PAT, then we don't have to pay any tax, but it will lapse after 8 years, right?
Yeah, so not 8 years from now, every year something would lapse, and, you know, because as you can see, our depreciation is also accumulating. So, yes, definitely for the next foreseeable future, we don't imagine paying any tax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And how will the MAT provisions, if at all, how will that play out?
I think in the new tax regime, again, I'm not the best expert on this. Our CFO is not able to connect probably. But with the new tax regime, I think no other tax rate is applicable as far as my understanding.
Okay. And the new CAPEX, which will be happening in FY23, will be eligible for 15% tax rate, right?
Again, on taxation, I am not the right person to answer.
But I don't think so. Okay. We probably want to take advantage of the
tax law.
Past losses, and I don't think we can opt for the new policy.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
So my question was in the margin profile of the products what we are producing or the gross margin profile, how different is it for the molecules we are producing at Orchid? So the lowest gross margin product and the highest gross margin product, what difference can it be?
That's a very tricky question, Himanshu. But you know, the difference between the two could be very high. Just to give you some examples on some of our products, let's say Cefixim tablets, if you go and buy in the market, between the cheapest tablet and the most expensive tablet, actually there is no comparison of gross margin. That's a marketing thing. Similarly, for some of our niche products, which we sell only a few hundred kilograms every year, the gross margin in percentage are very, very high. But they cannot be extrapolated for rest of the products, where the gross margins are closer to our overall gross margins, as you can see in our financial statement.
See, it is important to understand that Orchid is the only company in India, probably in the world, which manufactures 25 cephalosporin products in sterile and oral. So there is hardly any cephalosporin that Orchid does not manufacture. Some of the products probably Orchid is the only one in the world to manufacture. And that too in regulated markets, maybe nobody is there. So those are the key niche products where margins are very high. But I think that would be a confidential information.
Okay, and who are the largest global players in the market and are they the same in regulated and unregulated markets? And what could be the size of their business for cephalosporin? Any thoughts on those terms?
So the largest players in globally for regulated cephalosporin business comes from three or four players, I would say. Of course, Orchid is there. Then Qilu from China is there, largely in sterile space, and ACS Dogpar from Italy is there. Then depending on the product, you have Lupin or Aurobindo selling their own formulations in the US market, but not their API is not for sale for other companies. So if you have to talk about API, then it's only these three companies largely in the regulated space.
Okay. And the gross margin difference for a product in regulated versus unregulated market can be how different?
Again, it varies product to product. Some products it is as high as 50%. Some products it is just 20%. It's all a game of demand and supply and the number of players. It varies from product to product.
And when we bought this asset in 2019, we would have made certain assumptions on margins and break-even point in terms of revenue. Can you elaborate on it? And after acquisition, how have your estimates about break-even point in terms of revenue and margins changed in last 2 years? And are you moving ahead of the time frame you yourself projected, or you are lagging behind. So some thoughts on that will be helpful.
See, the asset was not purchased based on what was the margin percentage, a product-wise margin percentage, and what would it look in the future. I believe, you know, that's a game of demand and supply. You really do not have much control over, you know, how the competitor plays. So the reason to purchase this asset was that because it was a great asset. There was very well-trained manpower. The plant capacities were there. The approvals were there. And I think we have been able to leverage that quite well. The fact that the plant operated at high cost, which we thought, you know, we could result in significant reduction by our management. We have demonstrated that, I think, quite well in last 1.5 years. And the fact that, you know, we could increase capacity utilization, we could introduce new products through our R&D skill, and we could increase efficiencies. So those were the opportunities that we saw. And the combination of asset and what we could do with the asset, that's what attracted us towards this company. And I think we are moving in that direction. Rest is all competition, and we have to play by the competition rules.
And the peak revenue which Orchid touched was more than 1,400 crores. Okay. How far away or how much time do you expect you can reach that point? And when the company reached that revenue, was it because of one-time factors of price appreciation, or it was a normal business operations and a normal price point which took it to those high revenue figures? So though this is pre you were invested in the company, but just historically what led to those high numbers, just some elaboration will be helpful.
Yeah, Max, it's very difficult to comment on the past. You know, I don't know what all went on and occurred before we took over. Obviously, everything was not right. That's why the company went through bankruptcy. In terms of our growth, I would just like to reiterate what we have said earlier. We expect to grow at 20% CAGR. And from where we are going to that number, we can do the math when that comes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sharma from M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions. You know, one is on enmetazobactam. You know, it was prescribed or it was applicable for a few indications. As time grows, do we find the applications or indications for this particular molecule increasing? And if it is increasing, then what is the new size of market we are looking at?
See, the molecule is already covered on two largest segments in terms of hospital infections, that is pneumonia and the urinary tract infection. And if it is applicable to other therapeutic categories or other indications, that will depend on what kind of trials, you know, the licensees carry out in the future, those who have already licensed out the molecule. So it would not be proper for us to comment on that.
All right. My second question is again on the same lines. If we read the efficacy papers on enmetazobactam dating back to 2019, and we are in 22 and still waiting, so do you sense a sense of, do you feel a sense of urgency amongst the regulator to clear this, because the efficacy and both the safety profile seems to be in line, in fact better than the existing available options? So some thoughts into that, and you know, when do you see earliest it being getting launched in the market? Thanks.
Yeah, Anuja, based on those only, and especially because this product is targeted as an anti-carbapenem product. So just to give you a bit of background, now with the microbial resistance increasing, and just last month there were several articles about antimicrobial resistance increasing. So this product spares the carbapenems, which are, you know, in a way called Ramband 1, but the bacteria has become resistant to that. So this product is targeted for that application. So therefore, USFDA has put it on fast-track approval. That means once they file the dossier, within 6 months, it should be cleared unless they have a query or anything like that. So we expect after filing, this should happen very, very quickly. And based on our discussions with the Allecra, it should happen in the next quarter or so.
All right, that's very helpful. And just an addendum to the first one. As per the current indications, what is the size of market we are envisaging for this product globally?
Yeah, so as we have demonstrated in the clinical trials, it is significantly superior to piperacillin tazobactam. And in 2008, in its heyday, just in the US market, piperacillin tazobactam had a market of more than $2 billion. So since then, I don't think the numbers would have changed with respect to total market in the US. And US can be used as a segue of approximately 50% of the world market in terms of value. So that would be the number I would put that as a total potential. But of course, there would be other competing molecules now which would not be there. So we were estimating in our earlier presentation a total lifetime sale of patented life of 10 years of approximately $1 to $2 billion.
I just want to add one thing to this. In my opinion, going into the future, China is going to be the largest market for antibiotics, and it will, in next 5 to 7 years, it will overtake US. And we are happy that, you know, it was out licensed in China first. That clearly shows their appetite for the new molecules, and we are hoping that there will be large sales from China.
All right, that's very helpful. Thank you, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agrawal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of follow-ups. One, I understand that demand supply is a factor which drives prices in both your regulated and ROW markets. But just, if you were to give me on an average level, because cefixamine is the biggest molecule for both the DLL as well as ORCID, how generally, what is the differential that you might have seen on prices in ROW versus regulated markets?
So generally speaking, since it's a large volume product, in the non-reg would be around 20% of GC. And in the regulated markets would be upwards of 70%.
Oh, so there's a 70% price differential, is it?
No. Price difference is 40 to 50%. The gross margin value is like that. Price difference.
Okay. Price is also around three times. Right now, the price is, I would say, 2.5 times. But that is available only to ORCID because we are supplying to the innovator. The originator of the molecules. It may not happen in all the molecules. It depends from molecule to
molecule. Sure. The second is, while I'm not particularly aware of Chilu, but from my limited understanding, ACS Dofar is a pretty prominent player in this space and has been so for a fairly long time. So, in terms of your internal estimates, given DLL's processes and scale, where do you think, would you be fairly well-placed in terms of your costing dynamics with your peers like the Chilu and ACS as the DLL ORCID transaction comes through?
Our understanding is, Dofar, you see what has happened over the years, that the cephalosporin manufacturers have almost dried out. So most of the innovator companies, they purchase their raw material, their API, or maybe even finished product, they get contract manufactured at Dofar. So Dofar is completely in a different space compared to us, where we are a major player in the generic market. So in the past 1.5 years, in fact, we have not faced much competition from Dofar. Our main competitor, I would consider, is Chilu. And that's where we are betting, our future, because many customers that we met, they went with their China Plus One policy. They wanted to include us as an approved vendor because they want to de-risk against China. So that's our understanding of this business.
And okay, so in terms of reputation, ORCID's quality and product quality is considered right up there with Dofar, especially in Europe, where we are extremely well entrenched.
Okay. So, China has been a leader for the key raw materials. Your key competitor is sitting out of China, and you anticipate China to be one of the bigger markets going forward. So, how does the math work, specifically against your Chinese peer?
Yeah, so I would say we are kind of fortunate that in China, the key raw materials that like 7-ACA and Pengi, Those are concentrated in terms of, you know, large volume fermentation product manufacturers who are different from Chilu, like our competitor, who are focusing on buying the same intermediates from large manufacturers, and then the kind of stages or synthesis that Chilu does, we do to the same extent. So we are as backwardly integrated as Chilu, I would say. So, I mean, we feel that we do not have any significant disadvantage against the Chinese manufacturer. To give you an example, one of the products we recently got registered in China, it's a sterile API, and we have sold reasonable quantities to China itself. So the Chinese are open to purchasing APIs from India, where they feel there is a quality advantage, and they would like to buy from US FDA European approved companies, because there are kind of, you know, I would say groups within China, and there are certain groups who cannot buy from, you know, the group associated with Chilu, and they are looking for alternate suppliers. So I don't see as a significant disadvantage. I mean, of course, you cannot predict what will happen in the geopolitics of India and China. That's something we cannot predict.
True, true, absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Just two follow-ups. One is on, you mentioned that in the previous question that there are no new players in cephalosporin. As a result, innovators moved to DocFar for manufacturing. So what is happening overall in terms of new players in the market, and do you sense more capacity could come in if the prices are remunerative now, or how do you see the scenario playing out?
You see, the cephalosporin is a category which has a certain advantage and a certain disadvantage. The disadvantage being that, you know, it is a kind of, I would say, a secluded category. And if you set up a plant for cephalosporin, it cannot be used for other categories. So that is a disadvantage. At the same time, it is an advantage because nobody can set up a general purpose plant and introduce a new cephalosporin. So the competition largely is going to be, you know, restricted to the current players of cephalosporin. So we feel that is to our advantage, because, and that is the reason we feel that, you know, we got this asset at a reasonable price, as it would be very difficult to set up a complex, you know, asset like Orchid and make it viable by, you know, investing large amount of money and then waiting for 2-3 years to get all the DMFs and USFD approval. It's not easy to set up a new facility like this. So we feel there would not be many new players coming into cephalosporin. So probably the competition will revolve around the current players, and whatever growth opportunities are there, they have to be shared by the current players.
Okay, so in a way, then it means that for Orchid and DLL, it becomes economies of scale, because as the volumes keep on improving, our efficiencies keep on improving, and we become much larger versus any new player. So in that context, how would be our capacity versus the competitors which you mentioned? In terms of capacity, we would be similar to Chilu and others. And just one sense on, I believe Nectar Life Sciences also was into cephalosporin. So how are we compared to their capacities? If you can just help us understand in terms of capacity, where are we?
So combined together, from the Indian market point of view, Dhanuka and Orchid would be around 25 to 35%, depending on the product. The question with respect to Nectar, I think they have a large capacity, but their major focus is on the non-regulated market, primarily the Indian market.
And with respect to international competitors, our capacities would be similar, or?
So DocFar in terms of capacity is much lower, but their value is higher, being you know, associated with the innovators. And Chilu would have a higher capacity.
Okay. And lastly, on
Of sterile, they would have higher capacity. of oral, they would have lower capacity.
Okay. And lastly, on N-metazobactam, I read few papers and where I think I just wanted to understand is like people have been talking about that this product has a better is like a useful product versus AMR in terms of the treatment level, and also does that help us anyway improve the usability use cases of the product? And secondly, you said if new indications on which this product can be used will depend upon the trials with the marketing or Allecra does. In that case also we would get the royalty, or is royalty only fixed to the current two indications?
The royalty is with respect to the molecule, it has nothing to do with the indication. If the indication increase, we would be entitled for those royalties.
Okay. And on AMR, do you think the use cases increase a lot more for the product versus the enums or the similar product?
Yeah, so we are not the microbiologists, but our understanding is this, that, you know, very, very common beta-lactams like amoxicillin and piperacillin, their efficacy increased significantly when they were used by beta-lactamase inhibitors like clavulanic acid and tazobactam. So, and in our combination, we have two advantages. First of all, terpepine is a fourth generation cephalosporin, which itself is much more potent compared to any antibiotic. And N-metazobactam is more potent than tazobactam. So the combination itself becomes very efficacious, and we feel it has significant advantages. Rest is to be seen, you know, once it gets commercialized. A lot of economics come into play, how the licenses market and all that. So, but sure. I think as a molecule, it has a lot of advantages.
Sure. Thanks a lot and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Bang from Bryanston Investment. Please go ahead.
Good morning and thank you for the opportunity. So most of my questions have been answered, just one or two more. So in addition to what we have already done, what more can we do to improve the efficiency and cost competitiveness of Orchid Pharma?
It's almost a continuous process, Varun. So Orchid has a dedicated team who works on process improvement, that is lowering the cost of raw materials, improving solvent recoveries and things like that. So that is one continuous effort which is every time being done. The other one, advantage will come from leveraging our fixed assets, that is increasing capacity utilization, debottlenecking, improvement of batch cycles, batch sizes, improvement in cycle times instead of one batch in 24 hours, maybe one batch in 20 hours and things like that. All of those are, dedicated teams which are working on these opportunities for a continuous improvement like you would have done in any process plant. So these are all opportunities available, and Orchid, with the fact that, you know, for the last 5-7 years, focus was not there, these opportunities are much larger, and we are already seeing the impact of some of these in terms of the quarterly numbers. What we have been able to deliver has happened only because we have been able to de-bottleneck to churn out this kind of an output. And we would continue to do so, and we believe that going forward for the next 2-3 years, we don't need any major capex to give the numbers that we want to be proud about for our growth rate.
Okay, that is helpful. And what is the revenue contribution for us from top 3 and top 5 molecules in Orchid Pharma?
Yeah, so top 3 molecules contribute about 30% and top 5 molecules contribute 2/3 to the sales.
Okay. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj Kacharia from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, right. Thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question. What will be the depth as of today and the Roorkee property? You know, we have put in a board meeting. So how much are we expecting, you know, from that?
Yeah, so the debt position today is around 150 crores. That's a term loan I'm talking about. And our target was to come down to roughly 100 odd crores in this year, which, depending on the property prices and our sell off of Orchid Towers, would happen in this quarter or the next. And in terms of the value expected from the tower right now, that is confidential information since we are talking to a few buyers. I would not like to divulge that information right now.
No, okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, to an earlier participant's question, you said that the top three products are 30% and the top five products are 2/3. Was that accurate? Because then the math doesn't add up.
50 and 2/3.
Oh, 50 and 2/3, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
No problem.
Thank you. Anyone who would like to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I would like to thank all the joiners for this call for asking these questions. Some of them do give us thought for, you know, food for thought for our future. And we would like to welcome you for the next call whenever it happens, where we hope to deliver better results and continue this growth that we are doing at Orchid Pharma. Thank you for joining.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.